Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Three, two, one.
Hey, you wonderful humans. Welcome to episode 11 of Shifting the Paradigm. I'm Christina Gomez, your hostess for the next hour of this live streaming adventure, where we look outside the box, jump down the rabbit holes, and where the red pill is actually a red Tic Tac. Today, the show is going to be a little bit different because I will be talking to two passionate UFO enthusiasts who, along with several others, banded together to form a grassroots effort that can take advantage of all the recent amplified exposure that the UFO topic has been getting right across all the mainstream media. It's not a joke anymore. Nobody's laughing, and the public is paying serious attention and having questions. What are these things in the sky? Where did they come from? Who's piloting them? And what do they want? The grassroots effort is called the National UFO Night Out Event and is set to happen on the night of July 17th. So put that on your calendars, guys, because we're going to go into detail on what that is. So do not be busy that night of July 17th. And the aim is to get people across the United States to go outdoors with their cameras, their binoculars, their cell phones, and whatever else they have, and put their eyes to the skies and document any anomalies they see flying around while connecting to a dedicated Discord server chat room where everyone can interact live, give their reports, and pass on important information. Let's get into it. Let me bring in my two guests who can elaborate further on how this got started, what the mission is, and where it might take us in the future. So let's go ahead and invite Mick Conmy and Victor Ritchie. Hi, guys.
Hi, Christina.
Nice
to meet you.
Thank you so much for being here and talking about this really exciting event that's about to happen. What, just in a few weeks? A month, maybe?
Yes,
oh, my goodness. That's a really short time to start really pushing it out there. I'm excited to see what's going to come from it.
I think after the report drops, excitement is going to grow across the country.
Absolutely.
I sure do hope so. And it already is. There's definitely a lot of momentum, a lot of excitement happening. People waiting not only for this report, but to hopefully get a lot other different information from other sources. So I just wanted to start by if I could ask you just a brief introduction of who you guys are and how you got interested in the UFO topic.
Well, for me, it's been a lifelong adventure, really. As long as I can remember, since about the age of six, I've been very interested in UFOs. A documentary I saw at a young age on the 1952 Washington, D.C. UFO flap really struck home because I grew up in the D.C. area at a young age, just a couple of years after the event.
Oh, my gosh. So having that kind of experience, can you just go in a little more in detail of like how it made you feel and what happened and how the news covered it?
I don't recall how the news covered it. I was very young. I do know that it scared the dickens out of me next to nuclear warfare.
It was that scary?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Wow.
This is back in the days when you had nuclear attack drills in grade school. You went out in the hallway and stuck your head between your legs and hid from the explosions.
Oh, my gosh. And Victor, hold on. Before I ask you the same question, I think you're getting a little bit of feedback. I'm going to take you out just to make sure and I'll bring you back in. Oh, it is Victor. Ooh, buddy. if you can just try to fix it, but if not, just let me know. And I have the exact same question for you, just like a little brief description and how you got interested in this UFO topic.
Sure. I, like Mick, we both have a military background. I was interested in the Air Force from the beginning. I grew up when the space shuttle was starting to become a big deal. It looked like we were going to go into space. It looked like a lot of things were going to happen in our lifetime. And of course, everyone knows what happened with that. There have been setbacks. But my fascination with UFOs mainly comes from my interest in sci-fi growing up. I grew up with Star Trek and everything else, Stargate and Babylon 5 and Farscape and everything else you can imagine. So I've been impatient for this to happen for a very long time.
Oh my gosh. You talked about Stargate. It covers a lot in that TV show along with Star Trek, We already know all about Star Trek. For those that might know much about Stargate, what specifically got you interested in the topic today because of that show?
So Stargate, because of Stargate, my interest now?
Yeah.
The idea of an ancient race that had already set the galaxy up with portals so you could already travel, and just the idea that there could be artifacts out there from ancient races, it got me to start thinking about extraterrestrials in terms of before I was born and after I'm gone, and I hadn't looked at it historically before. But it just makes sense. I mean, we're emerging right now, but maybe another race had their space race when we were, you know, walking with dinosaurs. Not walking with dinosaurs, but you know.
But a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. And so I started seeing it as a spectrum of time, you know. And it makes me think that maybe our galaxy has artifacts everywhere. There were sci-fi books that explored that too. But with Stargate, it showed it. It showed us traveling and finding out there were races already out there, and we were latecomers. And I don't know, yes. something about that appeals to me. At the same time, it makes me feel like maybe it's true.
Well, I mean, it's not only entertainment, but I feel like it just resonates with so many people. Is there a fan with you, Victor, or like a ventilator or something?
It's just so loud. I know exactly what it is.
I'm so sorry.
I'm going to have to give you a blank screen for a minute, though.
All right, I'll take you off.
Okay.
All right. What about you, Mick? I mean, so you had your experience at the age of six living in DC during this really interesting time when that DC flap happened. But were there any TV shows or any other experiences that you might have had that also grasped your interest?
None that I remember. I just know that UFOs were prevalent in popular culture at the time. This was the beginning of the space race. They announced the Mercury 7 astronauts in 59 at the end of Eisenhower's administration. I started grade school the next year, and we drew NASA rocket ships for years. Every time there was a space launch, they wheeled in the TV and they made an event out of it.
Oh my goodness. And is it appropriate if I ask you how old you are?
67.
Wow. And you, Victor?
50s.
Oh, you know, it is so amazing to see people of all walks of life to be interested in this topic, but also having you two to be kind of from the beginning, from the get-go of seeing the progression and also seeing how it's been so stagnant for such a long period of time and now seeing that momentum. What are your thoughts on what's being seen on the mainstream media every day, the 180-day report? Do you feel, this is a, for both of you, do you feel like we're going somewhere compared to 50, 60, 70 years ago? Or do you think we're going to have the same thing happen where nothing actually comes out?
I'm glad you asked that. You're right. Both of us do have that perspective from almost the beginning of it in the modern age. And the thing is, I think we've hit, this is different because for the first time, the government has acknowledged some things that they've never acknowledged before. That's one thing. But they're also doing something either by design or by accident that I call a logic trap, and we're already in it. It's already in the bloodstream that the government has said these are real. We know that they're real. Their sensor data, it corroborates the eyewitness data. They're solid. They exist in the real world. They're here. The other thing is that now we're starting to see some of that sensor data. We've had the videos, but now we're seeing the sensor data. So people know it's real, right? Well, once you're somebody out there that isn't into this, and you know the government has said this is real, now you start to ask, okay, whose are they? Well, the government says they're not ours. And if you dig a tiny bit, you realize everyone is saying it's not anybody else's either. If it's not ours, of course it's not China's or Russia's. So then you start thinking, okay, what about private industry? Maybe they can be involved. But if you look at that, now there's reports in the public domain of reports from the 40s showing the same, what Lou Elizondo calls the five observables back then. So unless they're doing time travel, it's not ours, it's not theirs. That's the logic trap. Everyone's already getting there. And I think people have just, it hasn't dawned on everyone yet, and it hasn't sunk in yet. But there's no way out of this. You can't go anywhere unless it's all a lie.
They already dug a hole for themselves. There's no going back. Quickly, just, I didn't mean to cut you off, but no. Hey, Jimmy Church from Fade to Black. When the show is over, go ahead and watch his show because he always covers awesome stuff. Thank you so much, Jimmy, for showing up today. Really appreciate it. So, Victor, you're hitting some really interesting points. And the biggest thing is that the government really cannot back out from what they're saying. They're digging a hole from themselves. And there's so many questions behind that. Like, one, do they really want to bring out the true things that the public might already know? Or is there another reason behind to why they're doing this? Do you think they're like, oh, hey, everyone, look over here, and no one's looking on the other side? What are your thoughts on that for both of you, Mick and Victor?
Go ahead, Mick.
Much like Victor, I call this backdoor disclosure. They're leaving it up to us by the process of elimination to determine that it's not of this world or some other euphemism like that. I do agree that once the cat is out of the bag, it's not going back in. And they're going to have a hard time if this report says, yes, there's something out there, it's real, its capabilities are very advanced, but we don't know whose it is. Well, they're going to have to answer that question pronto.
And why do you think that is? Just because out of peer pressure, or?
It's an intelligence failure. As Lou Elizondo and Chris Mellon have framed it, we've got these craft, or seemingly craft, invading our airspace. The military's job is to control that airspace. So what are they going to do about that? They can't control the airspace. They're outclassed by far, but they can answer the question, who's flying these craft? Who's behind all this?
Right.
I mean, there are so many questions. I mean, like you said, they say it's not China. They say it's not Russia. We don't know what they are. And it just leads to more questions. They're opening a can of worms of what they think it is. No, go ahead, Victor. Go ahead.
I think that they think that if they just give this little bit, they're not ours and they are real, that's enough. Reporters are going to be the interim on here. They're going to start asking, well, if they're not that, they're going to demand, well, then whose are they? Who do you think those are? Someone's got to say something eventually. They're going to nudge it out a little bit at a time. They're real. They're not ours or any other countries. We can't do what they do. All these things have been admitted in one way or another by military people. That only leaves one thing that I've heard, which is a recent thing. Maybe it's a natural phenomenon of some sort. Okay. Maybe, but every single report, especially the ones from the Navy, they tell us about these objects acting with intent and with purpose. They have intelligence behind them. The pilots will tell you that. A natural phenomenon is not going to have an intelligence behind it. Again, you're stuck. You can only go forward on this. And
yeah,
then you end up with non-human, not terrestrial, extraterrestrial, not extra-dimensional, not interdimensional, maybe co-inhabitants of the Earth or the solar system.
Bogey and Slick says it's an intelligence failure, just utter incompetence at what has been seen and the response to it all. I can't agree more with that. But again, you know what? Maybe it is intentional. Maybe there are just so many questions to why this is happening and why now.
Yeah.
Why now? Why not 70 years ago when there was a big hype about it? Beforehand, now we're having another big hype about it because of what the government is feeding the public. And with seeing these weird anomalies in the sky and with trying to understand these videos that the government is releasing, you guys are having an event July 17th. And so I just found out about this project literally within the first week it began to be organized. And I think it was through a Reddit Discord server where I got tipped off by a fellow moderator. And I immediately got excited because, well, like, my name is Eyes on the Skies, you know?
yes.
Anyway, why don't you both go back and forth and tell the viewers how this all came out to be, the NUNO, and what's the driving force to make you undertake such an effort?
Go ahead.
Well, it got started on Reddit. One of our partners made a post basically asking the question, why doesn't everybody get together sometime and go out and look at the sky? And it grew from there.
And on another sub, I had written a letter the day after that one, or not a letter, but a comment. And our one member, one of our other two that's not here right now, happened to be subscribed to both of those and saw both of them and put them together and realized this is a great idea. I kind of had a similar idea, but yes, it was definitely the other one that started that. And we just started talking to each other. And that person who noticed both ended up getting us two. And go ahead.
The noise is back, Victor. I'm so sorry.
I don't have anything that's going. I'm so sorry. Are you hearing it, Mick?
Yeah, it's a clickety sound, almost like a bad fan.
I don't know.
Let me just make sure. I'm going to take you off just for a moment. It is. Okay.
We could, let me change my audio back and see if it works the other way again now.
All right. Oh, that's perfect. I don't hear anything.
Oh, okay.
Awesome.
That's fine.
Awesome. Dude, technology is so hard. It is so hard to keep everything balanced. I always have a malfunction. It's a Woody Woodpecker. That's what Jimmy says. You know, this one time a few weeks ago in my apartment, this woodpecker starts banging through my wall. And I'm thinking, what's going on? Is it the maintenance guys? And I walk outside and it's a woodpecker. And I'm like, I've honestly never seen one in my life. This is so fascinating, but this is my house. Please don't. Please don't ruin my walls.
Was it on a tree or out on your house?
It was on my wall. on the outside of the wall. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I never thought I would have this kind of encounter. Unbelievable. With the NUNO event, you know, it is so easy to just make it amongst your friends, you know, being like, hey, you know what, let's all text each other and just have an event. What went through your mind when you wanted to be when you wanted it to be a national event to really publicize it?
That's a good point. The thing that we had all realized was everyone is kind of excited and looking forward to this date coming up. We're all tired of being indoors. Summer's here. People are vaccinated. They're starting to go out again, and it's a good time cosmologically too to go out for at least most of the United States during that time. Of course, we want everyone in the world to be involved in this, but it occurred to us, how cool would it be if we had a group event that all of us contributed to, and that we shared our photos, our videos, whatever it is we do, and just watch the sky. It's a great experience. You can't lose. And of course, you can do this during the day too. There's people putting their camera phones on slow-mo and aiming them straight up at the sky and during the day, and then looking at it later, and they're catching like fast moving objects that you can't see. So yeah, you can do this day or night, but this way we're all doing it together. We're all going to be joined together online through various different social media. And yeah.
And Mick, what are your thoughts on it?
Well,
why are you doing this?
We wondered what we could do to contribute to the effort. You know, we're not professional astronomers, professional photographers, but how can we get involved? And this seemed like a perfect way to make a low-key outreach to your friends and family, you know, to join you, to go out and look for something interesting in the night sky.
Yes.
I'm telling you, I'm really looking forward to this event, July 17th. It's on my calendar. I'm going to be pushing it out because everyone needs to be a part of this. Yeah. If it goes well, successfully, would you keep doing this like once a month, once a week, once a year? What are your plans for the future once this one happens?
Well, we considered doing it once a month, came up with a tentative schedule based on the amount of moon illumination, and then found out we were dead wrong on that. So we've had to recalibrate a little bit on the schedule, but we would like to do it monthly.
Right. And I hadn't mentioned it before. We're on Discord, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're obviously on Reddit. I'm working on a website. It's NUNO21.com. That's all it is. National UFO Night Out and 2021. So NUNO21.com. There's not a lot there right now. There's just a landing page, but it's got all the links to all the social media we're on, everywhere where we're at. And hopefully it can be like a meeting place where we can share pictures eventually. It's going to grow. But maybe that can be a central point for people to get their information.
And I will put all the links in the description box below for people to click on it, to follow, and to get updates on what's going on, what's going to happen, when the next one will be after July 17th. I just want to encourage people in the live chat, if you guys have any questions, please feel free to ask them. I will do my best to keep an eye out. But if you really want to grab my attention, just because it's so hard to listen and to read the live chat, to make a super chat, because that really helps to grow my channel and moving forward. So Mick, can you tell me about how much your life has been affected or changed by this topic? How much time does it consume?
My life has been radically changed in the past several weeks. I think it's been about 3 weeks since we came up with this idea. I find myself, I'm retired. I don't work. So
there you go,
I
living the dream. I love that.
I went from a very leisurely lifestyle to a fairly frantic one overnight.
Really? How did that happen?
Well, my partners and I just keep bouncing ideas off each other's heads, and then somebody has to follow through on all these good ideas. Right. Having the ideas is the easy part.
Executing them is the hard part. What's the hardest part of the day? Getting up. Yes. The rest is easy. Victor, what about you? I mean, how has this topic changed your life and even this event that's about to happen?
Well, like Mick, I'm now retired as well. Involuntarily, I ended up with a bunch of back surgeries, and so I can't work. But I basically am at home with my family and all my animals. One of them is at my feet right now, which is why I keep ducking out of view. I apologize.
What kind of animals do you have, Victor?
Cats and dogs. Yeah, they're great. They get along great, too. But yeah, I mean, the thing that's changed for me is I had to go back to Twitter and Facebook, which I had left before, but I'm happy to do it for this. And it's just great. I don't have a lot of socialization online, and this has brought me close to a lot of people and let me meet a lot of really wonderful people that are our partners as well as others that have contributed. So it's been fantastic. It's hectic, like he says, but it's great. It's absolutely fantastic.
Especially now with this topic, I mean, things that are dropping the news every single day, not only is it hectic with the event, but it's hectic just keeping
up. It's like there's something every day in the news. Absolutely.
Every single day. Quickly want to say hi to my friend, Luis. I say Lou, but it's Luis. Don't forget, you have the live streams. You can always join in if you want to. And John Music, thank you so much. He says, as a very concerned dad of my 2-year-old daughter and my mom and dad with health issues, do you guys think full disclosure will lead to prolonged food, medicine, shortage, global pandemic? What will be the realistic public and market reaction? Great question, John. Always love your questions.
Well, I think that if what we are starting to understand is true, which is that this is not a simple answer, that this is not a simple, we're meeting aliens and it's Star Trek, or we're meeting aliens and it's Star Wars. If this really is something truly different, like Lou and many others have said, I think depending on the level of disclosure, the level of information that eventually comes out, I think there's going to be a period of stunned
individuals
adapting. I think people are going to be stunned and trying to adapt. I don't think anyone's going to panic right away, and I don't think anyone's going to celebrate right away. I think that if it is truly something more than just extraterrestrials, that we're all going to have to kind of change the way we look at everything, really. And well, that's going to take some adapting.
Well, I mean, right now, just on the news recently, this UAP topic, UFO topic, was first kind of dropping as really exciting about getting all these military people talking about their experience. But now it seems like it's kind of being twisted and saying, oh, it's a threat.
Yeah.
This is a very scary moment in our lives. So I feel like that's kind of what John is going with his question. It's if we keep hearing that this is a threat, that these objects in the sky are invading our airspace and that we should be scared, do you think that food, medicine, shortage, all these things would cause a global panic? Or do you think that the majority of people are wise enough to understand that it's probably all okay? If they wanted to kill us, they could have done it a long time ago.
That's a very good rationale there. I think we're the answer to drop. Suddenly, if the New York Times were to print a 60-point headline that said aliens, yes, we'd have societal problems. There would be issues with the food supply, with the supply chain, with institutions in this country. But I believe this slow drip disclosure that we're on is going to last a year at least, another year.
I agree.
You think so? So even after this 180-day report that's meant to come out pretty soon, do you feel like it's going to be about another year of what?
Slow drip disclosure. Jeremy Corbell coming out with a new video every couple of weeks. Lou Elizondo dropping hints and clues like he's been doing.
And little pauses here and there while everyone catches up. It's just going to be a slow walk.
There you go. Anna says it could quickly morph into a witch hunt if they start suggesting some of us are hybrid or alienated or a threat to other people, or the aliens and people want to protect them. I mean, what a mess. And that, I think that's kind of interesting and kind of what we're seeing right now with COVID. You're having people that are vaccinated, those are not vaccinated, and there are these signs that say, if you're not vaccinated, you have to wear a mask. But if you are, it's okay. And you're kind of having that divide and conquer. Like, people are looking at those that have a mask, oh, they're not vaccinated, what horrible thing. Well, the thing, same thing with what Anna is saying, from what I'm understanding, is that like it can easily be twisted and being like, that person's a hybrid. They're a threat.
I'm honestly been surprised that it hasn't already been factionalized that way. I think maybe people are just waiting to see what breaks and what happens. But if you don't mind, I'd like to just address that threat narrative real quick.
Go for it.
Okay. Being military background, as Mick and I are, I think he would agree. We have a different perspective on this. At least a little bit different. If I go outside my house at night because I heard a noise, that's a potential threat. And maybe it's a bird or a squirrel, or maybe it's somebody with a gun. I don't know. But until I know what it is, I consider it a potential threat. The military has to view things like that are unknown. If there is a school of whales around a carrier, I don't know, maybe that could be a threat. I don't know. I'm not from the Navy, but you have to consider things a threat until they're not. So just saying that, it doesn't mean there's an agenda necessarily. And as far as that goes, let's just consider the fact that the U.S. military budget for 1 year is about $15 billion more than the top 10 countries' military budgets combined. There is nothing the Defense Department can't get if they ask for it. More money would be just wasted on them. This is not about getting more money. So that's just my input.
Mick, what about you?
I agree. The military has to address the threat issue ASAP. They can't leave that sword dangling very long. In fact, that's the primary purpose of the Intelligence Committee, is to deal with threats to this country. Absolutely. And they've got, they just can't announce that there's a threat and let it slide some undetermined amount of time. They've got to deal with it ASAP.
So, Ted says, do you think that the government has been in communication right along with extraterrestrials? Will this ever be disclosed? Good question.
Well, there's going to be a lot of hell to pay if that does get out that that's true. I mean, a lot of the people that were involved in way back when this began are probably not around anymore. So there's a little bit of a buffer between the ones around now and maybe the people that were guilty of that before. And I don't know, maybe they can kind of squeeze into that hat and hope that they don't get pegged for it.
I think that's part of the reason for disclosure.
Yeah.
A lifetime has passed since those original men made the decision to classify this as a cosmic top secret. Personally, I agree. I think the government has made contact of some sort, has much more evidence than they've been willing to admit. And for whatever reason, they're finally getting around to slowly admitting it, and have been ever since 2017.
And I agree with that. I also think there is some legitimate. Not understanding what this is too. I think there's some legitimacy to the fact that a lot of the people behind this maybe really don't fully grasp exactly what the phenomenon is. But yes, everything Mick said, I agree with too.
So both of you kind of mentioned, so a quick thing. Luis is here from UCR. Let's bring in our man, Luis Jimenez. Hey, Luis.
Hi, guys. How are we doing?
It's good to see you.
Hi, Victor, Mick, how's it going?
Good.
Hi. Nice to meet you guys. Sorry, thanks for the invite. I wasn't expecting you to send me an invite. I feel like I'm crashing a party.
No, you're a busy man, but I'm happy that you showed up. I just have a quick question for both you, Mick and Victor. You both kind of stated that maybe the government is having interactions with extraterrestrials. What do you think gives that away? What evidence or ideas do you think, yes, the government and aliens know each other?
I think because Harry Reid couldn't get clearance to go to Area 51 and see what was behind closed doors, that indicates to me something pretty exotic is happening. Mm-hmm. And the third-ranking man, politician in this country, if he can't get clearance, then it's got to be something astounding.
And then you've got people on the private side, like he makes the inflatable space, help me out, the inflatable space habitats, you know,
Bigelow.
Yeah, thank you, Bigelow. You have people like him on the private side. You know, there's been talk about that for years. Maybe the government moved all this to the private sector to hide it from FOIA. So if that's true, maybe it's there. But again, you go back to the fact that we have evidence from the 40s. So it's the same problem.
There are so many variables. Luis, do you have any questions?
Right off the bat, no, I wasn't thinking of anything off the bat, but I mean, I wanted to hear a little more. I mean, I'm coming in late just because I'm doing a bunch of stuff, but I was interested in the event that you guys are organizing,
yeah.
And I thought it was a killer idea. you know, it's one of those things that's super. It's even simpler than the Big Phone Home. All you got to do is walk outside. With a lawn chair,
you know,
bottle of water or a six pack of beer, and just sit back and relax.
Probably no beer for this event, because then you might think that a satellite's a UFO. We can't have that.
Sure, yeah, I guess I can see how that
is. Everyone educated on Starlink yet?
I think the masses. I think the masses aren't. But I mean, I've heard like a bunch of people in the community who said they've either seen the Starlink or they've seen the ISS, and at first glance, they're like, "Whoa!" You know, they're freaked out, especially depending on what part of the world you're in. Like if you're the UFO garage guys were just in Sedona and they saw the ISS, yeah. They said it was so bright. And then they checked on the computer to see what the flight track of the ISS was, and it went right over them. So it was definitely that.
But it's awesome that we live in an age where we have data, right, to understand what's happening versus being like, oh, what is it? But Mick and Victor, you know, I wasn't aware that both of you served the military. Did you ever encounter anything to do with this phenomenon during your service?
No, other than misidentifying satellites as potential UFOs, no.
I was stationed. Oh, go ahead. Were you finished? I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I was just going to add that Victor and I, we were in different branches of the military, but we did the exact same job.
Which was what?
What was that?
close air support.
Yeah.
The other end of what David Fravor and Alex Dietrich do when they're skying around. They've got to go land their ordnance somewhere.
When the Air Force needs to drop bombs, they're going into an area where the Army is also doing artillery. And so you have to have someone from the Air Force to coordinate with them to shut down the artillery and make a corridor for the aircraft to go through. So I was stationed at Army bases all the time.
So, was there even any talk about this when you were in the service, or was it just like pure stigma and like avoided at all costs?
This is back in the 70s when anybody that said UFOs got laughed right out.
Wow. It's so
sad. Well, it was also probably, it wasn't a career mover, that's for sure.
No.
Absolutely
not. It moved your career just in the wrong direction.
You know what's funny is I when I started looking at Jesse Marcel and his mistake, what I found strange is usually if, you know, I mean, I it depends on which way you slice it. Is it a mistake or is it not? But I found it interesting that he did get promoted after the crash at Roswell.
Why do you think that is?
You know, I've got some theories. I think part of me really believes that it was when I start looking at the Mogul program and you look at the tethered balloons that they had, they were longer and as robust as, say, the Washington Monument. They were really long, complicated balloon systems. Okay. And they were balloon systems that were listening to nuclear devices going off in Russia. And I think if something like that crashed on a ranch, it would confuse a lot of people as to what it was. And I think in 1947, it's better to say that it's an alien crash disc than it is to say it's a top secret listening device. So I think part of the reason why he got that promotion was because he thought quickly on his feet, and it was a really quick way to cover up a mistake. And then I think the part that really, and this is all speculation, but I think the part that really sort of gnawed at his conscience was the fact that he had to now tell this story to his wife, to his sons, to his relatives, and knowing that it probably wasn't true, like the whole alien cover-up thing. I could be totally wrong. There are aspects of that story where I'm like, well, maybe that's not what happened. But like, for example, you know the I-beam that Jesse Marcel Jr. describes, that he held that metal I-beam? Well, you go back and you hear Jesse Marcel Sr. talk about it. He's like, it wasn't an I-beam. It didn't look like an eye at all. It actually looked like it had the texture of wood. I was like, huh. It had the texture and had the color of wood. He said it wasn't metallic at all.
Is that writing on it?
He said that in a book, and he also said that on television. That was one thing that really stuck out to me. Like, oh, maybe he let slip that this thing was actually terrestrial.
Like George says, keeping a lie would be so hard, and you know, keeping it slip.
It would be hard, very hard.
But I also feel like there's two ways to think of it. Like, yes, it's just a really common saying that was around World War II, and it says if you tell a lie long enough, it becomes the truth. People believe it to be the truth. So it can go one of two ways. Like, yes, it's really hard to keep a lie, or your brain is like, it really happened. It's true.
Yeah. I just find it fascinating that he got promoted. Because let's say this thing crashed and it was an extraterrestrial vehicle. He just told the whole world an extraterrestrial vehicle crashed. Why would you get promoted after leaking something like that? You know what I mean? That's where I find it kind of odd. And I can see how, from a human aspect, telling a story to cover up, you know, a top secret thing could really gnaw at your conscience, and you know, you said, like, keeping a secret sometimes it slips, and I feel like he slipped a couple times.
Oh,
of course, I want to believe Roswell. I want to believe something, you know, extraterrestrials crashed there, but it's a story. The further I look into it, it just happened so long ago, so it's really difficult to sort of nail down the facts on it because we don't have Jesse Marcel. We don't have Jesse Marcel II. We have the great, you know, the grandson, the great-grandson of Jesse Marcel, and it's just tough. It's a tough thing because information wasn't as widespread as it is today. You know, it's just, yeah, I love the story, but yeah,
it's not, but that's what, you know, with Mick and Victor, they have such a unique perspective, because they were a part of the air support and monitoring. So, what are your initial thoughts about this when David Fravor came out, and maybe even Sean Cahill? Did you hear Sean Cahill's experience? You know, he was a chief master at arms, and he saw those objects with his own eyes on the USS Princeton, which was notified by the USS Nimitz for them to put eyes on the object. So, you guys, with your background, what went through your minds hearing these stories, these more recent stories?
Well, these are trained professionals. They're not prone to flights of fancy or like Jesse Marcel maybe making up a story on at the drop of a hat. Like Alex Dietrich said, the only reason she came forward was she was on the clock flying a government airplane at the time. Mm-hmm. Had she been off duty, we'd never have heard of her, even if she'd have witnessed one of these craft.
Mm-hmm. I've been very impressed by David Fravor. When he first came out, obviously being in the Air Force, I was interested, even though he's Navy. But yeah, I mean, people don't mention it as often as they probably should. He wasn't just a pilot. He was a Top Gun pilot.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
That's a very big deal. One mistake, even one, you're gone. You have to be perfect. And he just has so much credibility. He just has a lot of credibility, and you can't just dismiss that.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
You can't. And I want to kind of dive back into you guys' event, the Nuno. A lot of people aren't aware of Discord chat servers, but it's something you can that it can be accessed by cell phones. Can you talk a little bit about the current channel that the Nuno has?
You're more familiar with that than me. I'm very new to Discord.
Well, I mean, I guess for those, because I mean, you have it. You know, this whole event is through Discord. In simple terms, for people that might not even use Discord, can you just explain it just a little bit?
It's a series of chat rooms, basically. You also have the option to use voice communications, have a voice chat, and add video to it and have a chat like we're having right now. Mm-hmm. You can upload videos, pictures. It's an all-round great thing.
There you go. And I love how, you know, when this gets bigger, right? I'm telling you, I'm so excited for this. When it gets bigger, there can be a chat room for each city, for each state. So people that are watching, seriously, put this on your calendars. Join the Discord server so that you can find other people in your city, in your state, looking up at the skies on July 17th. Because who knows, maybe someone right next to you, maybe even just like the house over, might see something and say, hey, you need to go outside right now. You got to see what I'm seeing. This is a big deal.
Yeah, no, it's right. A really great way to maybe get a corroborated sighting.
Absolutely. Jack Ryan says, hey, girl.
Oh, sorry.
No, just quick thing for a minute. Jack Ryan, thank you so much. He says, hey, girl, to you too, Christina.
Yeah, he also put another $2 chat that says, I don't know what it says.
Please tell Luis Jack Ryan says, hey, girl.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks. What?
I think he's such a funny guy. Anyway. wow.
No way, Undead Gaucho. Okay, so John's a very cool guy. You should look at his channel. Guys, subscribe to him. But his birthday is July 17th. Well, you know what? This is the best damn way to celebrate your birthday.
Dude, especially in Chile.
Ooh, right?
Or is Tell he in Argentina? No,
Argentina.
Argentina, yeah. He's in Argentina, so the sky watching there, I'm sure, is spectacular.
And just to let you guys know, today's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Do you share a birthday with Luis Elizondo?
I do.
What? Oh my God. Happy birthday.
That is so cool.
Christina.
What are the that's awesome. That's awesome.
Why didn't you say anything?
It's not a big deal, but you know what? Undead Gaucho started it, so I was like, all right, might as well add to the birthday candles.
Christina, I know it's rude, but you're young.
I'm 22 today.
Whoa.
Don't tell anyone though.
Girl.
Thanks, guys.
You'll be a woman.
Be a woman. I'm already a woman. Hold on, Louise.
I know that's just the way the song goes. All right, I'll change the lyrics to the famous song for you. Okay, geez. Everybody's like, hey, bye.
No, you're fine. You're fine. My parents still think I look 14,
Happy birthday, Christina.
Thank you.
I wasn't gonna sing. I know you were about to freak out.
I was like, please stop while you're ahead. I don't mean to distract you guys. I'm very, very sorry. But Reddit is a really awesome place to find information, but it can also be a complete swamp, a dark forest. And what I mean to say is, like, it's a great place for this topic to be discussed and highlighted, but it also has its dark side. What do you think about that? All three of you, what have been the highs and lows you've experienced in trying to find out what is true and what isn't about this topic while using Reddit?
Well, it's interesting because there's a backstory to Nuno. The date July 17th was chosen because a Redditor who claimed to have abduction experiences also claimed that the aliens had a plan lined up for the Earth on either the 8th or 18th of July. He wasn't sure because apparently the alien mumbled when he said the date.
Of course, on the most important detail, it's like, come on.
And anyone listening to this that's on Reddit knows who we're talking about. And to be very clear, we are not doing this for that reason at all. Hmm. My letter specifically addressed that. My point was that whether this guy is real or not, whether there's anything to this or not, this is an awesome time for us to just get together and unite and do this as UFO enthusiasts. Yeah. So we're distinct. That's not what we're doing this for at all.
Well, I don't know how to use Reddit, full disclosure. I've tried.
I like your honesty.
I swear to God, I've tried.
It's like Discord, but slower.
But it's like, it's even less accessible. I feel like, I tried to get into the community there and I was like, hey guys, I got a channel. They're like, yeah, we don't do that here. I was like, okay, bye. It wasn't like as easy to get into as like Twitter or Facebook with my thoughts and opinions and idea in my show. Reddit's just a complete mystery to me. But I've also heard everybody always warns me about, don't get your information from Reddit. Like, it's the worst place to possibly go. And they're like, Twitter's way better. I'm like, okay.
Wow. I mean, with only a certain amount of characters you can use.
Right.
Yeah.
Ted says, Christina, how do your peers feel about this topic? Have you or the rest of the panel had an experience that convinced them early on? I'll let you guys answer that first.
Well, I mean, I did. Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
Yeah, go for it.
Wait, Nick, I'm so sorry. I'm very sorry for cutting you off, but we're about to wrap up soon. So if anyone has any last minute questions, please put them in the live chat before so we can answer all of them before we end. Thank you. Go ahead, Mick. Sorry.
I was 6 years old playing in some bushes, and I was aware of the time. When I got back to the house, 2 hours had elapsed when I felt like only 20 minutes should have gone by. And that evening, I saw an odd craft. Now, again, I was only six, but this memory is stuck in my mind. It was a craft with portholes, had an odd nose up angle moving forward. Not in any, its motion wasn't abnormal, but its attitude was. And that has stuck with me my entire life.
And were you able to convince others when talking about this experience?
I rarely bring it up. I didn't bring it up at the time. It just stayed buried in my memory. Dang. In fact, you three are probably, I just doubled the number of people I've told.
Yeah, I know that feeling for sure.
What about you, Victor?
I haven't had anything specifically that convinced me. I did have something happen when I was in the military. I was going to bring it up before, but it was just a cool thing. It's a story maybe I can tell later at some point about some red orbs we saw while we were on a night mission at Fort Hood. Mm. So, but it didn't convince me of anything. It just made me question more and just it deepened my desire and need to know.
There you go. With this kind of topic, answers just lead to more questions. And it's like never-ending questions. It's awful, but also awesome. All that curiosity just bubbles through your veins.
Yeah.
And Luis, do you want to go ahead and tell yours?
Well, I've told my UFO story before, but I'm thinking of someone who, because I can't convince anybody from my story. I think that's very difficult. I mean, the people that were there with me saw it. So for me, that's convincing that other people saw it with me. But
I mean, I mean, you having your live cast, you know, like almost every day talking about these topics, about what the news is covering. I think that's pretty convincing. So even though your story might not be what you're covering on the daily is.
Well, the first thing that pops into my brain is David Fravor. Yeah. You know, I think he's the most convincing person, him and Alex Dietrich. Yeah. Their stories are insanely compelling, compelling. And it's, you know, as much as I respect and find Mick West humorous, especially, you know, he's basically, he's doing the equivalent of telling Michael Jordan he doesn't know how to shoot free throws. You know, it's just, he's a top gun. He's the best of the best. He's 0.001% of the person of people who can do that.
Yeah.
And you're telling that person essentially they don't know how to fly a plane.
Nah, it's a bird.
You know, you don't know what you're looking at. And I'm okay.
That's insulting.
It's insulting on some levels. On some levels, it isn't. I mean, you have to ask these questions. I mean, the questions have to be put forth. But, you know, this idea that a video game developer figured it out before the Pentagon is confusing to me. Like, I just don't know how he comes to that conclusion that for some reason he's got the answer, but the Pentagon doesn't, you know? So it's, you know, but like, I wouldn't, as much as I love David Fravor, as much as I love the story, and I think it's authentic, I wouldn't put that on the table as definitive proof, because it's not. It's a story. It's a story with some video that was taken after the fact. It's a story with no data. The witnesses are what's driving that story. They're so good. They're so qualified. so that's why it's so convincing. And it's, you know, I'm all for making mistakes. I think that's possible, especially when you're moving at a mile every 10 seconds. It's possible to make mistakes, but two pilots to make the same mistake? Three?
That's rare. And
four
and the sensor data matches.
And as far as we know, the sensor data matches. As far as we know. You know, like, but it's not only just the pilots. You got to understand that the battleship saw it, the submarines saw it. They were all on the same system. They were all on the same linkage. Everybody was seeing what the pilots were seeing.
There was a carrier group,
The whole entire carrier group saw it, but we haven't heard from them.
No.
But I think as this story, as you know, we get the UAPATF report and things start coming down, we're going to get the other two pilots eventually. They're going to come out. We're going to know who they are.
At least I hope so.
I think so. I think so. It wouldn't shock me if they're still in service. That's why we haven't heard from them.
Christina, what do you guys think? I think the next step here started with the Omaha's radar. I think that the next step is we're going to start seeing more sensor data released.
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's the next step. We have to have the sensor data.
From your lips to God's ears.
Yeah, they have to put that together with the videos and the images. And once you have that, it's a bigger picture. It's a step.
You know what I think? I disagree a little. I think it's coming. I don't think it's going to be very soon. I think right now the mission is to get 98.8% of the United States, America, the American population, to caught up to where we are, which is the objects are real. The Senate has confirmed it. Pilots have confirmed it. Our Navy and Air Force has confirmed it. The objects are 100% real. But nobody knows that.
Those are the people who this report is for.
Exactly. Like the New Yorker, 60 Minutes. They're catching everybody up to this idea that these things are real. I mean, we just had Leslie Kahn on the debrief today.
Yeah.
And she was saying about how experiencers have been left out of this conversation. And they've been, it's been nothing but ridicule and BS for this very complicated, emotional, traumatic experience that people are having. But are people ready for that conversation right now? I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't think so. I think we need to get them used to the idea. Hey, those things in the sky, they're real. 100% real. I mean, look, it took 4 years to verify that Elizondo worked for ATIP. 4 years. So this is going to be a process. Like Elizondo says all the time, it's a process.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah, trust the process. There you go. You know, manage your expectations. But in the meantime, people should be getting together to try to get their own data. And that's why your event is so important. It's time for us as citizens to start getting more data on our own. That in form of SkyHub, in form of SkyWatches, in form of, you know, calling your representatives and demanding more transparency. All of these things are very useful tools to get more data. And I think the government's also starting to realize the more transparent they are on this topic, even just a little bit, win so much trust with the American people.
Yes.
It's insane how quickly.
Oh, it goes so far right now.
So far. I mean, the smallest little details, and people are like, oh my God, tell us more.
You told me the truth?
Tell us more. Yeah. You got more of this truth? You know? And I think it's the perfect bipartisan issue right now.
Yeah.
You could throw this on the table anywhere and also try and connect other issues to come together on. It's a unifying issue. It's not a divider. Like nobody's lost their mother to a UAP incident. You know, like nobody's
not,
poor.
Not that I know of.
Nobody's poor because the aliens are coming across the border. You know,
that's
like
because they don't lunch money. Vote.
That's because they don't vote. There you go.
So we're about to close up this cast. I want to tell everyone, thank you so much for joining, for watching. Mick, Victor, Louise, all of you guys, thank you. And I want to also state that I will be having Victor and Mick back on the show after the event to hear their thoughts on how they think it went. I will place all the links in the description box below. There are a few questions I really want to ask. We just don't have time. What kind of equipment you guys recommend for this event? If you want to kind of quickly say that, I'll let it slide, you know? but I also wanted to tell you that a YouTube channel will be created for people who film footage to be shown. And it'll be supporting the efforts and helping people out on a number of aspects. So if anyone has questions, you can email me at the address in the Lincoln Beacon page, because this is going to be really big. So if you film anything on July 17th, again, there's going to be a YouTube channel on it, and we're looking forward to what you're going to be seeing out there. Again, last thing I want to say, thank you. Seriously, this show cannot happen without you guys, without all the Patreon supports, without everyone just commenting in the live chat. So I want everyone to stay safe every day, and especially on July 17th, and to always keep your eyes on the skies, always.
anyone still there? Guess not.
Yeah, one sec.
Oh, okay, sorry.